Blog Talk Radio.
It is Sunday night, and that familiar slap of the bass means it's time for the weekend wrap, surveying the squared circle. Got a great show on tonight, as usual, but we do start the show on a note of sadness with the passing of a Hall of Fame champion, Mr. Aaron Pryor. So before we get started with our conversation with Iceman Scully, Champ Raymond Brewster, and my co-host Jabron Clement, we're going to have 10 seconds of silence, please. Well, with that said, the boxing world was shocked this morning with hearing the news of Aaron Pryor's death. He died at the age of 60. And we're just going to talk a little bit about Aaron Pryor, his great career, some of the sadness connected with it, and also his induction into the Hall of Fame and what it meant to him and how it validated his career. And we're going to start with Mr. John Iceman Scully. Iceman, how you doing tonight, my man?
Everything's really good. How you doing?
Doing great. Before you start talking about the Hawk, let's also introduce the champ, Mr. Layman Brewster. Layman, what's going on tonight, my man?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How everybody doing?
Everybody's doing good. You know how the weather is out here on the West Coast, so you know how it is out here, even though it is, you know, the 9th of October. But, Scully, you want to – I'm not really sure. I know Aaron came along during your time, and I'm sure that there has to be some connections and stories that you know about the Hawk. Why don't you give us some of your memories of the Hawk?
Yeah, well, you know, to tell you, I actually fought on a show with him as a professional at the in Rochester, New York, in 1989. He fought a guy. I forget the guy's name. The guy was like a Asian guy, as I remember. And Aaron and I actually shared a dressing room, which was pretty amazing for me, because when I was coming up, first in boxing, you know, when I first started, he was champion, and the fight with Arguello, he actually beat Arguello my first year of boxing. So 7 years later, I'm sitting in a dressing room, and I'm literally looking 10 feet away from me, and Aaron Pryor sitting in the chair next to me, getting ready for his fight. So I always remember the fight with Arguello, because at the time my mother and father were divorced, and my father lived a mile or so away from my parents' house, from our house, and my father didn't have cable, so I was like 14 at the time, and I just remember leaving his place at about 10 o'clock, and I jogged all the way up to my childhood home, and I didn't even have HBO. We didn't have HBO in the house, but back then it's different. The cable was different. Back then you could have the HBO. You could even if you didn't have the station, it would be squiggly lines, and you could hear the HBO playing in the background. So I ran up to my house about 9, 10 o'clock at night, I listened to the fight through the squiggly lines just so I could hear what happened. And then when it was over, I ran back home to my father's house, my father's apartment. And so that's how much interest, you know, I had in that fight. And then obviously when I saw it later, I believe for me, Pryor and Arguello won the first fight, November of 82, is probably, for my experience, one of the three best fights that I've ever seen. Certainly top five, the fights that I've actually seen.
Oh, man, okay. Great story there, Scully. We know you, you know, there's very few boxers we can talk about that you haven't come in contact with, and was he ever a part of any of your reunions, Scully?
No, but actually, believe it or not, there was a time when he was actually training boxers, amateurs, and I used to run into Aaron quite a bit at the Ohio State Fair and the National Silver Gloves. As a matter of fact, whenever I go to tournaments, I always bring my camera. I always take pictures of, you know, random people and things. And I actually have a picture right here in my house. It's on my Facebook album of Aaron holding the pads for Dante Craig at the Ohio State Fair. That was back in, I believe, 1999, and Dante made the 2000 Olympic team. So he was working with Dante Craig and all those other good Cincinnati kids. He helped out a little bit with Ricardo Williams. I know that much. And so I used to see him at the tournaments quite a bit. I saw him at the Ohio State Fair. The first time I saw him there was 1993, and I saw him into the 2000s. He was still going, and at the Silver Gloves in Kansas City, he used to go as well. So he's one of the few superstar boxers. You know, a lot of boxers give back to the amateur program, but you know, here's the Hall of Famer, and he was young at the time. I mean, that was quite a while ago, and he was only 60 when he passed. So he was still relatively young, extremely young, actually, and he was going around to the tournament. So you don't see many Hall of Famers doing that.
Yeah, that was one thing. I take a lot of shots at Cincinnati and whatnot, and whenever Adrian Broner kind of jumps off a cliff to me, I kind of think of Aaron Pryor because, I look at it, especially as a guy being from Ohio, and Aaron had sick skills, it just seems that if he had been a little bit more dedicated to his craft, there's no telling what his record might have been. I believe it was 39-1 when he finally left the ring. So, if he hadn't had his bouts with some of his demons, I'm sure Aaron, might have been have one of the records, like comparable to a Larry Holmes or even a Sugar Ray Leonard or a Tommy Hearns. Layman, you want to comment on the Hawk?
Well, man, I just my memories of him were, of course, after his career, but during his career, believe it or not, I was actually fighting, but I was too young to really understand what was really going on, because I had started in 1980, but I was just a local gym bum, basically, man. But being that I was in Indianapolis, Indiana, and he's from Cincinnati, it's right over. So, they used to get quite a bit of sparring from guys around this area. And I knew he was a very, very tough fighter. Him and Marvin Johnson, who, as you know, is from my hometown as well. And when I got to meet him, man, was when I had my last fight in America was, I believe the year was 2008. Yeah, it was 2008. And it was in Cincinnati, and he came to the show, man. I was just amazed because all the years of watching his fights and things like that. Because as a fan of boxing and as a fighter,
you know, I studied tapes, man. I studied all kind of fights, fighters, and he's one fighter that, he always came across my path because I fought people that were tall, like when he fought Alexis Aguero, you know, so I wanted to see how he was able to dismantle his opponents and the things that he did, man. And he was like Neo from the Matrix, man. That dude could, he had a drunken style, so to speak, you know, and he could punch, you know, and he just, his energy, he was like, what was that guy, Louis Armstrong, or what was it? The fighter from back in the day, in the 40s.
Oh, Henry Armstrong.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, man, he was like a modern day Henry Armstrong, man. That dude, he just let his hands go, and he outwork you, man. And he had skills, and then you see tapes of him sparring. Like here recently, I saw on Facebook, not Facebook, I'm sorry, YouTube. A clip of him sparring with, like, I believe it was Tommy Hearns or something. I was in just disbelief, man, because the dude, he played with Tommy Hearns. And we talking about Tommy Hearns when, you know, he was, before he became an older fighter, you know. It was like, wow, man, it was just amazing to see. I had heard that he actually had sparred with Ray Leonard, but I don't know how true that was, but I just heard that he put a lot of people, like, in check, man, that, you know, he was the truth, the whole truth, and not but the truth. And, like, I was referring to studying fights when I got ready for several of my fights because of his style and because of his energy and what he brought to the ring. I studied that, man, and, you know, I tried to take that mindset that he had of a warrior. I try to take that into the fight, man. And, again, being a Midwest boy and he's right next to me, he was such an inspiration on my life, man. He was inspiration to all fighters that, especially from this country, you know, that has a dream about trying to make it because, you know, he came from nothing and he made something, man. He made it big. And I don't know, man. It's like I try to really think about what I could really say to get you to understand the way I really feel about this man, but I would just say he is one of the true fighters that was the next, I guess the next decade, you know, coming from like the greats like Sugar Ray Robinson and people like that, man, because that's exactly what he displayed every time he stepped in the ring, man. He was a very, very exciting fighter. He's going to be greatly missed. As a person, he was a great guy, man. He had a great sense of humor. And, you know, instead of, like, as I was thinking about what you were saying, instead of me feeling sad, I'm going to be happy this day, man, happy that I was blessed to even meet this legend, man. I can't even call him a champion because he was a legend. And the fact that I got to meet this man in this lifetime, in my lifetime, and the things that he done, man, you know, hey, I have nothing but the utmost respect for him. And I would encourage anybody who has not seen his fights, which I'm sure if you've ever been in boxing, you've heard his name. But if you haven't, I would say Google this man, YouTube this man, and then you'll see what fighting was really all about. It wasn't all that holding and grabbing and crying and complaining, man. This dude came to fight, dude. So that's my two cents.
As a young man boxing historian, Jabron, your thoughts of Mr. Aaron the Hawk Pryor?
A great guy, a great person, for one, you know, very approachable. As far as inside the ring, great generalship, and then he just, you know, fought with so much pride, you know. Unfortunately, this generation will not be able to appreciate his greatness unless, you know, they're a diehard boxing fan or historian. So, from my generation, I can actually say in the video game world, you know, they actually had him on a couple of video games in the 90s, Boxing, Fight Night, Knockout Kings. That's what it was, Knockout Kings. He was on the game. So for you to make the game, you had to have been great because it wasn't nothing but Hall of Fame was on that game. So with that being said, that's all I have right now, JK.
Yeah, you know, as Layman said, you know, we should celebrate his life, his passing, and everything that he for our sport, and also for what he gave back to the youth. And actually, you know, he put Cincinnati on the map. As far as being one of the Hall of Famer, I believe he was one of the first or second Cincinnati Fighters to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. So, yes, it's a sad day in the boxing world, but it's also, you know, we know that he's not playing anymore, and, you know, we all celebrate his deeds in and out of the ring. With that being said, Iceman, you've been working on a couple projects, a couple things there in Connecticut, and even over there across the northern border there. So, Iceman, what's going on with you, man? And, you know, what's, anything that you might have heard about, I mean, other than... You know, you were telling us about the boxing reunion and how you are going to grow that a lot beyond the threshold that you had thought. So, is there any more news on that? And are you is there any amateur or pro things that are going to be happening around the Connecticut area?
Well. This actually, this coming Saturday, we have a big show. It's our first it's going to be an annual event. It's a unique approach. I've never actually heard of this before. We're going to be the first ones, I think, that are doing this. We're doing a show in Connecticut this coming Saturday, and I actually have one of my boxers on the show, but I'm also going to be doing the TV broadcasting, the blow by blow, because Comcast is going to be airing it. And what it is it's an initiative they're putting together where they're taking the best kids from the area, and they're taking it from New York, from New England, from all over. And they've invited promoters from all over, from New England, from New York City, from New Jersey, and they're doing like a 15 bout card, and they've invited promoters to come and look at these guys. It's a big dinner show. Tickets cost $75, and it's actually called the Willie Pep Classic. It's going to be an annual event in honor of Willie Pep, who's our champion. He's from Hartford, Connecticut. He boxed out of Hartford. And so it's going to be interesting. It's going to be some high quality. All 15 bouts are high quality guys. It's matches of kids who eventually want to go pro, and kids who have won. Actually, we have one kid who's I don't even know his name, to be honest with you. I just know that one of the kids on the show is a current U.S. national champion. And he's boxing another kid who won some other big tournament last year. So it's going to be a high-level main event that they're putting on. So that's my next thing that's going on. I'm actually going to the gym tomorrow because I have to get this kid ready, a kid by the name of Edison Vasquez, a featherweight from Hartford who I've been working with, and he's going to be on the show as well.
Oh, John, I forgot while we were talking about Aaron. Does anybody know when the funeral is, and are you making any plans to attend?
To be honest with you, I have not heard anything. I mean, I only heard of his passing like 12 noon today. So I have no idea about any funeral arrangements whatsoever. I have not heard anything.
Layman, have you heard anything?
No, I think it's probably too soon because I was reading, if I'm not mistaken, it was this morning that he passed away, I believe. And so if that's the case, I'm sure that, you know, it probably was expected, but not, you know, I just want to say I don't think that they have already made those plans this soon, you know, just judging by other people, unless they knew that he was dying, you know, within a week or so. But I don't know. I'll find out, and if I hear something, I'll definitely keep you posted.
We know, you know, for the city of Cincinnati, I mean, you know, he's almost, he is just as big an icon as Muhammad Ali was for Louisville. So I'm sure that, you know, there's going to be a lot of the boxing legends and Hall of Famers there. As I said, I'm sure there'll be a celebration of his life. Scully, you know, have you heard anything more about you know, a possible avalanche of promoters from New York, possibly you know, talking more about Connecticut? I know we had talked a little bit about it last week. It doesn't seem like there's been much movement on this New York insurance thing. Have you talked to promoters, you know, that are thinking about moving out of the Empire State and possibly moving up north to where you are?
Yeah, well, I heard a couple of days ago that there has been some communication. There, I know for sure there's been communication between people in Connecticut and promoters in New York, because apparently they have a couple of shows. I'm not sure the exact situation, but I think it's they have these shows planned, and now this new fee came in with the insurance, so. They're hoping that rather than ditch the whole show, they're hoping that they move it to Connecticut. So I know we have the two casinos, Mohegan Sun and Foxwoods, and then in Hartford we have the Hartford Convention Center. And then in Bridgeport, they have a stadium in Bridgeport that could possibly be used. So I know that the ball is in motion. I haven't heard anything concrete or specific, but I do know the ball is in motion, and that the idea and the invitation has definitely been extended to New York.
Jabron, once again, you're up there by the Barclays Center, around the Creeks and Gym. Have you heard anything on the wire?
No, all I've heard is about possible some shows, like Scully said, in Connecticut and in possible Canada and D.C.
Have you heard anything about, you know, the possible December 10th fight? Are they talking about moving that, or is that or they have that for the Barclays?
The Triple G, right now, that is kind of up in limbo because Danny Jacobs is saying that he possibly wants an interim fight before the Golovkin fight. And then there's a little problem. They're trying to – Triple G team wants it at Madison Square Garden. They're stating and Jacobs, they want it at the Barclay. But they're trying to avoid a purse bid at this time, but it's looking like it's kind of leaning towards it.
Okay. Speaking of purse bids, Layman, Povetkin and Severn, purse bid a little over $3 million. It looks like that fight, it might be another one of those Russian confrontations. Layman, first of all, your thoughts on that fight? And you know, I mean, is this fight, you know, all risk and no reward for Burn? You know, considering that he might have to travel to Russia.
Well, I think that Stavern's back is to the wall at this point in his career. You know, a lot of people are kind of counting him out or whatnot, I believe. I think this is a good fight for him. I think this is a fight where he needs this fight to show the rest of the world that he is not off the table. I think that by him fighting Povetkin, being that Povetkin was, you know, going to fight Deontay Wilder, I think that this answers a lot of questions about how good Povetkin really is, because Stavern is a warrior, and from my understanding, he was very, very, very dehydrated going into that fight with Deontay Wilder when he lost the title. And I would love to see him fighting somebody like a Povetkin, because then I have somebody to grade him against, because we know Povetkin has skills, even though Vladimir Klitschko pretty much destroyed him. The fear factor is, yes, he is going to be fighting in the territory of the backyard, rather, of a guy like Povetkin, who, you know, you have to at this point, with all the allegations that we know have been talked about, from bad experiences from American fighters fighting overseas, whether it's something on the gloves, you know, just all the wicked things that could happen, and then coming off Povetkin getting caught with these steroids, man, he has to just understand that he cannot get a fair decision. This is not a fight that he can go to distance and win, because I'm just going to say it, they're not set up like us. They're not going to be fair in terms of their judging. I mean, it just ain't going to happen. They want to have a Russian heavyweight champion at all costs, and I think that Stavern, this will be the biggest test of his career post Deontay Wilder. I don't know how active he's been, because I haven't really heard anything from him, so that makes me a little leery. The rush factor, and then the X factor going all the way over there, and then, you know, the fear factor is, will he get a fair bout? You know, will the referee, will he be an American referee? Will the judges be, you know, really selected judges, or will this just be all just one-sided, you know? So all these things play into my mind, but I think Stavern, out of all the fighters today that I've seen in the heavyweight division, I think he has the skill that it takes to go over and beat a guy in his backyard, because I always tell people, when the bell rings, it don't matter. It don't matter if the referee is for him. It don't matter if the judge is for him, because the only judge I'm trying to have at the end of the day are my two fists. And if I let this man make it to the last round, well, you know, I left it out of my own hands and put it into the hands of the judges. And I think that being that Povetkin is not a real tall fighter, there's no way that Povetkin should be able to stay away from him, because I think he's just a little bit taller than Stavern, and I think it's going to be a really, really good fight. But as far as will it be even fight skill-wise, that I really don't know, and that's what I'm really interested in. I'm really interested in seeing their skills going up one against one another, and I just hope that it's a fair fight no matter who wins. But you know, I'm going to definitely go for Stavern, just for the simple fact that, you know, he's a good guy, man. I know Stavern. He works hard. I hope that he's smarter. He learned from his mistakes. I hope that he got a proper nutritionist and he's not trying to do the same things he did like with Wilder, which, you know, sometimes you got to spend money to make money. And I believe if he would have had a true nutritionist helping him get ready for that fight, his body would have looked a whole lot more toner, even if he didn't have a strength coach. But just the simple fact that he was dehydrated going into a fight, a heavyweight world title fight, well, that tells me a lot about the people around him, from his trainer to his strength trainer, which he didn't have. And I just hope that he learned from those mistakes, and I hope that he can come in here and he can show the world that he does deserve another chance at the title.
Speaking of another chance, Scully, what kind of message are we sending to the young boxing fans, like, you know, the Bronze Age, when, you know, we see this man supposedly violate, you know, the rules and regulations, then we see the same trainer, the same promoter getting the purse bid. Scully, I mean, you know, is this one of some of the reasons why we have so much trouble attracting new fans to the game because what they consider the unreliability of the boxers and the regulations for boxing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, in my mind, I don't even take it seriously, the so-called regulations that certain sanctioning bodies put out, because you can trace it and you can see that they've broken their own rules numerous times. You know, the promoters are really running things, and the top fighters are really running things much more than the sanctioning bodies. You know, the sanctioning bodies try to come off like they're the bosses and they're in charge, but they're not, you know, because all you have to look at is when a guy weighs 160 and he defends the title at a catch weight of 157 because he wants to fight a smaller man. That's insane. Like, that is insane to me that is allowed, but that's what the sanctioning by the WBC in this case, that's what the WBC allows. So nothing they do surprises me. I don't even get disappointed anymore. I actually have to halfway laugh at it when I see them either A, try to implement some structure, or B, when they don't implement structure at all. Like, whatever they do, I don't even take it seriously anymore because they don't even follow their own rules anymore. And so, you know, it's hard for me to even explain it to people when they ask me, because rational people will say, well, why isn't it done like this? And you have to explain to them, well, it's not done like that because there's different sanctioning bodies, and some guys in the game command more money, so they bend for certain people, and it just sounds corrupt just talking about it, trying to explain it, because it makes no sense the way they do things in the game today, the way they've always done things. But now that I'm older and wiser, I can see it more now.
Javon, what is the reputation of boxing among the younger generation? How do they really feel? I mean, you know, do they still think of boxing as a bunch of old men sitting back in a dark room smoking cigars?
No
offense, Lyman.
A lot of people my age and casual boxing fans, they really don't care about the stuff that go on behind the scenes. Until someone educates them on it. Like when I'm in the barbershop or I'm somewhere in the gym somewhere having conversations with, you know, boxing fans, and I give them a little a different angle on why maybe a certain fight didn't get made or different things of that sort, then they start to say, oh, like they respect the game a little more because they're not just looking at it as a fan when you break it down as far as the business aspect of it. But for the diehard fans, I mean, it's a pain in the butt. I mean, the diehard fans are tired of the nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems boxing, with the generation, it tends to, sometimes it resonates, sometimes it doesn't. And I'd like to know how we can get some continuity as far as, what the boxing fans expect and what they really want rather than try to dictate stuff to them. I guess I might come to you on this one, Layman, because we did talk a little bit about it before. Now that this Povetkin thing is being made with Stiverne, and now that we've heard a little bit more of Tyson Fury, but we haven't really found out definitively what's going to happen. But now they're talking about making a fight between Joshua and Klitschko December 10th. Layman, come on, you're our resident champ here. What do you think about this matchup? And do you think that all of the titles should be on the line with the exception of what Deontay holds so that he can punch the winner?
I'm going to have to say yes. I do believe all the titles should be on the line if it's at all possible. I know for a fact that Joshua and Klitschko has sparred in the past. So I don't know how that sparring went, but I know when you become a champion, it does something to you mentally. And I just believe that this could be a changing of the guard. I don't know if Joshua can beat a Vladimir. What we saw last of Vladimir was a Vladimir that, I made the excuse of being that we fought twice, and just seeing his performance against Tyson Fury, I know he wasn't there 100%. And then I broke down the reasons of, all the things he went through getting ready for that fight, all the distractions with his wife and his baby and his marriage and just all that being new to him. But now going forward, facing a guy like Joshua, Joshua is looking to be, to me at least, definitely within my top three of the best heavyweight fighters in the heavyweight division today. Number one, to me, definitely is Deontay Wilder. But again, I haven't seen enough of Joshua to really say what I think that he may or may not be able to do, because I haven't seen him tested. But what I can say, based on what I've seen, is that he's serious about it. He's dedicated. His body shows it when he gets into the ring. You can tell he's hungry. He's humble. And I think that his heart is in it to be a champion because of his interviews, by the things that he says. It's not a me, 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 or ah. He's a very humble champion, which to me tells me that he's to be taken serious in his sport. He'll facing a Vladimir, man, I think that this could probably be a good opportunity for him, because Vladimir coming off of a loss, he has to be saying to himself, even though I made all those excuses, I don't know what really happened. The question is, Vladimir, does he still have it? And if he has it, will he be able to bring it out against such a young, strong, vibrant, smart game fighter in Anthony Joshua? So I think they will make for a great fight, man, because if you talk about a passing of the guard, this would be the perfect time to do it. Why? Because Vladimir, as you know, he had a long run. I was the last man to beat him for 10 years ago, 2006, Mandalay Bay, to be exact, April 1st, or 4th, excuse me. But he hasn't been beaten until Tyson Fury did here recently, and that didn't look spectacular, but for him to lose against a Joshua or Deontay Wilder or somebody like that, to me, that would be truly a pass out of guard. And, you know, Joshua has to be saying, okay, well, his confidence has to be a little down coming out for the loss. I sparred with this man. I know what I need to do. I know what he brings into the ring. And I'm a champion. And I want to show that I'm the best. And so to prove that you're the best, you have to fight the best. And I think that this is a prime time to fight a Vladimir because of Vladimir's age, because he's coming off of a loss. You know, that's a gamble that his team would have to strategize and say, is it worth the risk? But, you know, if I had to say, do I think the fight is a good fight or not based on what I've seen, I would say now is the perfect time to strike, because even though all those things may have been wrong with Vladimir, as I said, bottom line is he's going to go into the ring with a little doubt because he lost, and he could go into that fight and for some reason he could have a relapse, so to speak, you know, because that fear set in of losing and being unsure of being a champ, because now you're questioning your age. You don't think the same. You don't feel the same because now you're married. Now you have a child. I mean, all those things play a big difference in the life of a fighter. It makes a big difference in the life of a fighter when you're getting ready for a fight. So I think that this is a roll of the dice that Joshua people should definitely consider taking, and I think that this is something that the fight fans in boxing would definitely come out to see.
Scully, your thoughts on that? And what are the sanctions for a fighter when he tests dirty cocaine twice?
Well, I mean, it should be a lot steeper than it is. I don't even know 100%. I mean, to me, obviously, not just the positive test, but with Tyson Fury, you know, the words that he said and the things he's put on Twitter, it would appear to me, I'm no psychologist, but it would appear to me that there's some mental imbalance going on that's a lot deeper than just drug use. I think I mentioned this to you last time, but, you know, he's been entertaining these last couple of years, but sometimes, you know, you think maybe, you think he's being like a Muhammad Ali. He's just doing it for the camera. But sometimes maybe somebody's not doing it for the camera. Maybe that's just really them. Maybe they're a little out there. Maybe there's a little something going on. And this recent, his tweets and different things he said, I think we're more than likely looking at something a lot deeper than just drug use. I think we're looking at a guy who's suffering some sort of meltdown. And I think very comparable to Oliver McCall in that fight with Lennox Lewis. I think if Tyson Fury was to go into a fight relatively soon from today, you'd see something on par with the Oliver McCall meltdown. So I think whatever sanctions or punishment they put on him, it's going to be just part of it. I mean, they're going to have to take a long look at this guy if he ever decides he wants to fight again. But I don't think, in general terms, I don't think the punishment for fighters is that much, it's not that intimidating. I don't think guys are necessarily worried. It's kind of funny to me. Like, say, for example, I saw one time a couple of years ago a guy fought a title fight, and I forget the exact infraction, but he was given a 3 or 6 month suspension. And I'm saying, well, in this era of boxing, he wouldn't have fought in 3 or 6 months anyway. So what's the difference? You're not punishing this guy at all, especially if it's only 3 months. But, if it's Mayweather doesn't fight every 6 months. He only fights every 6 months anyway. So the punishments aren't scary. They're not intimidating. They're not something that people worry about. You know, it's like in other sports. You give a guy who makes $10 million a year and you fine him $10,000 for some infraction. You know, he spikes the ball in the end zone or whatever they do, and they fine him $10,000. Like, to me and you, that's like fining me a penny. It's like saying, all right, if you do that, you got to give me a penny. And I'm going, here, here's 10 pennies. I'm going to do it 10 times. Just keep the money in advance. So I think the, you know, the world of sports in general, not just boxing, I don't think the punishment, you know, they're not trying to punish superstar millionaires too harshly. They want to keep these guys happy, and they want to keep them in the sport, regardless of what petty punishments they try to hand out. I think boxing is funny because every once in a while they catch a guy using steroids. You know what I'm saying? I think that's just to save face, to say that they're doing something, because I think it stands to reason they can catch a lot more people if they really wanted to. And I think just like in other sports, more than likely they're probably letting a few guys slip through.
Javon, you agree with that?
Most definitely. Most definitely. Because at the end of the day, it's about making dollars. So if they got the superstars at home suspended, they ain't putting butts in seats. People are not coming to pay to see the backup.
Yeah, that's I guess that's one way to look at it.
Let me say one thing, and I think I told you this before, but I anytime this subject comes up, I always bring this up. I did a talk at a school 20 years ago with Steve Corson. Steve Corson was a four-time Super Bowl champion with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's actually dead now. He was on the waiting list at that time when I spoke to him. He told me he's on the waiting list for a heart transplant because he was using so many steroids that it ruined his heart, the same way it did Lyle Alzado. This guy told me 24 years ago, he told me everybody in the NFL is on steroids. He said, you can't be in the NFL if you're not on steroids. And now here it is 24 years later, and I believe boxing with the – and if you notice that – With the invention, with the coming out of strength coaches, now the steroid issue is starting to be big. In the last 5 or 6 years is when the steroid issue has started to become big. That coincides with the strength coaches being involved in the game. And I think there's something to that. I think there's smoke there, and I think there's fire with it. And I've always said we don't need the strength coaches, but that's another story altogether. But, you know, if next time a star gets caught using steroids in boxing, if they throw him out of the game forever, they've never said there's no chance you can come back. Same way they did Pete Rose in baseball for gambling. I bet you that would shake things up. But they're not going to do that because they need high profile sanction fees to keep themselves going.
Yeah, I've had coaches tell me secretly when I was playing football, you know, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. So, you know, I guess it just seems, you know, even though we want to try to take the high road, it's like behind those doors, still just. Layman, I hate to keep picking on you, but we had the signing of Luis Ortiz 6 weeks ago. He left Goldenwood. He was their only heavyweight, I believe, other than the Great Wall of China, when they're trying to bring along slowly. But he's now signed with the British promoter, Natural Fox. Layman, I asked you this question before when you were talking about the lighter weight, but does it seem to you or is it reality, you know, that more and more fighters are starting to be attracted by going abroad simply behind all the bullshit between, you know, Bob Arum and Oscar De La Hoya and the Premier Series. Are fighters just, you know, finding it easier to go to Europe, especially England, and you know, fight for those euros rather than put up with all of the disadvantages and whatnot of dealing with the promoters here in the United States.
Well, the pickings are slim here in America. You don't have a lot of top notch promoters out there doing big shows. I think that the fighters are trying to be the best businessmen that they can, and I think that what they're trying to do is go wherever they feel they can make the most money for their careers. I've yet to see Golden Boy promote bigger weight fighters yet. You know, I haven't seen that as of yet. I really don't know what's going on with the organization, man, because I don't really follow them a lot. I don't hear a lot about them. I know, you know, Bruce Bev and Todd DeBuff and Bob Arum and all those guys over there, but I just don't know what they're doing. You know, the Don King is not making any noise in his game, and yet he's still what's that, signing fighters. He just signed a fighter named Anthony Sims from my hometown of Indianapolis, Indiana, who's I believe he's 12-0 with 10 knockouts or something like that. But he's a really good up and coming fighter, and he signed with Don, and I was trying my best to say something good about it, because Don hasn't been doing anything, and he just signed a young fighter, and he's not doing anything, and this guy may be messing his career up, but maybe he should have went overseas. I don't know. I think that a fighter should go wherever he can make the most amount of money and get the best deal that he feels, if he has a good team behind him. I definitely would not advise a fighter to try to take any negotiation with any promoter without a legal team. You know, you need somebody to look over those documents and not just take the money that they would throw out front on the table, if that is the case. You know, because I've heard about those horror stories, signing your life away. But, I think, just to sum it all up, man, I think that these fighters today, they see Floyd Mayweather, they see that money, and they don't see sometimes that this promoter, he may not have money to give you, but he can build you, and he can give you more attention than another promoter would. So maybe some of these would be or could be good promoters who don't have big names. Maybe they're being overlooked. That's why they're going overseas, because overseas we know that the euro is more than American dollar, and, you got these promises, and maybe they'll keep them, maybe they won't. You know, it's just hard to say. But I just hope that we can get ourselves as fighters in America and people just involved in this sport, man. I hope the shows like this can help bring awareness and just try to help everybody to really support this show. I mean, support boxing, to listen to this show, and these promoters will maybe hear this in some type of way, and they'll start stepping forward, man, and putting those fights on again like they used to keep, keep boxing relevant.
Yeah, most definitely. We're getting down to kind of toward the end of the show, so I'm going to start out here with Scully. Scully, right now, the new International Hall of Fame ballot is out. Right now, three leading contenders for this year's ballot are Evander Holyfield, Marco Antonio Barrera, and the late Johnny Tapia. Scully, what do you think of this, the class of 2016 for the International Boxing Hall of Fame?
You mean the class of 2017, the one coming up?
Yes.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, Tapia, Barrera, Holyfield. I mean, those are. I would have to assume all three of those are going to first ballot. That's a great class. Holyfield's going to draw a lot of people, and you know, really, I've noticed going to the Hall of Fame. Part of it is the appeal of the inductees, and you know, when Tyson got inducted, it was mob. When Trinidad got inducted, that type of thing. So Holyfield going in is going to draw a lot of even just casual boxing fans and people who just want to see him up close. But obviously he deserves to be there, you know, as much as anyone in history deserves to be there. So I'm looking forward to going. I go almost every year, and it's always a great time. I encourage anyone who hasn't been there to definitely go.
Oh, most definitely. Scully, thank you so much for your time this evening, my man. Why don't you give us your final thoughts for this evening and let people know where they can find you on social media?
Well, like I say, I'm always on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Iceman John Scully on all three of them. And, you know, just looking forward to the end of this year, you know, with the Kovalev Ward fight, which I'm planning on going to. Looking forward to that. I can't wait till we start talking about that fight on one of the future shows. I'm really hyped up about that one. And, you know, that's about it. I just keep doing my thing, and I encourage anyone to follow me on the social media, and we can talk a lot of boxing almost 24 hours a day.
All right, Scully. Well, hey, man, look forward to having you on next week. And, hey, maybe we can get some of your amateurs on or some of the guys, you know, that's on your cars. Never too late for the family to start learning who these young guys are.
All right, pal. I appreciate you guys having me. I'll see you next week, all right?
All right. Thanks so much, my man.
Bye-bye. Yes, sir.
Well, champ, let's what do you think about this possible new class? I know, you know, Amanda Holyfield, I'm sure all of, you know, the heavyweight fighters respect the great work ethic and everything that Evander Holyfield has done for sport, and especially bringing attention to the heavyweights. Layman, your thoughts? Evander Holyfield, Marco Antonio Rubio, and the late Johnny Jackson.
Well, man, this is just me talking. I would have to go with Evander Holyfield, man, because if you don't include anything outside of the boxing ring in terms of achievements, I think Evander Holyfield probably has achieved more in the sport of the heavyweight division than probably almost any fighter, man. I mean, he's won so many titles, and he fought everybody, and he didn't duck nobody. And, you know, I just think that you would definitely have to go with Evander Holyfield, you know. But maybe I'm being biased because I'm a heavyweight, but there were a lot of great Marco Antonio Barreras in the past, you know, and, you know, RIP, you know, Johnny Tapia. But, you know, those guys, there have been a lot of great fighters like them along in the past. But, that, you know, but Evander Holyfield, you know, everything about him, man, he truly personified himself as a legend in every way. So I would definitely have to go with Evander.
Yeah, most definitely. Evander Holyfield has to be, you know, I mean, I'm sure all three of these guys are first ballot, but I would definitely have to go with Evander, you know, and I think it should only be fitting that Mike Tyson should be his presenter, but that's another story.
Yeah, that would be beautiful, man. That would be great.
But Layman, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on social media, my man, and anything that you might have going on that our audience should know about.
Well, I probably should have talked about it earlier, and I'll talk about it next week because it's definitely going to be it's gonna acquire a little time because I need to get your opinion and yours too, Jabron, on what you guys think about this movement. And I'm asking for your support, man. Like I say, we're going to put it out next week. I pray God willing we'll be able to come back next week, same bat channel, same bat time, and have this conversation. And let me present this to you guys. You heard it first right here on the Pugilist Corner. But you can find me, Layman Brewster, LamonBrewster. And that's Facebook, that's Instagram, and that's Twitter. So, you know, if you have any questions for me or like to reach out to me in any way, please do, you know. But I ask you always tune in to this show because this is the time when, you know, the voice of the fighter gets to be heard, and I'm just one of many. So, yeah, I'm going to try to invite some of my other champion friends, Ray Mercer and Chris Bull. I've been talking to them, so we may have to team up on you, JK. And Jabron, you might have to have the water bottle ready for him because we're gonna come at him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know what they say about us old guys. You know, we bend but we don't break. You know. Hey, you have to bend like a willow. You know what I'm saying? Make sure you withstand the storm. So, you know, hey. I'll be there. Last man standing.
Yes,
but hey, Layman, I'll call you back this week. We can talk a little bit, you know, and get all the support and everything that you need. Anything that you need our help with, we will be behind you 200%. So no problem with that,
Most definitely.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much for your time tonight, man, and look forward to talking to you again next week.
Yes, sir.
Jabron, hey, my man, why don't you give us your final thoughts for the evening? Tell us where they can find you on social media and anything you might have going on.
Well, I don't have anything coming up, but I will just keep telling the fans to keep supporting boxing, always support boxing, and just keep your head up until next week. And you can find me on Facebook, Jabron, J-A-B-R-A-N, Clemon, C-L-E-M-O-N, and J-K, you can let the fans know where they can find you.
You can find me on Facebook on the Pugilist Corner. If you're interested in sports, I also have a page called The Sports Crib, which is the sponsor for the Pugilist Corner. We will be on this Tuesday, Jabron and I, we will bring you some more prospects from Knockout at the D. And we look forward to having you guys around Tuesday from 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific time. Thank you for joining us this evening. We look forward to talking to you again next week. And as always, have a great night, everyone. See you next week. Ooh.